Well, kia ora, hello and welcome to the Coast Vineyard Podcast. Whether you're a regular or a first-time listener, it's so good to have you listening in. We hope and pray that wherever you may find yourself at today, that the message that you're about to hear would be helpful for your journey of faith. So, without further ado, let's get into this week's message. Hey, my name's Stanley, if we haven't met. Great to be able to just share with you what's on my heart for us today. But let's pray, eh, before we jump in. Father, we want to step into what we've been singing. We want more of you, Lord. Set our hearts on fire, our souls on fire with the things of you. May our lives be hungry for the things of God. And so even in these next few minutes, Lord God, would you stir again, Lord, that passion in our hearts for those things of you. May we be a people that would walk in step with your spirit, walk in step with you, Lord. Invite us, lead us, help us, in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. January the 12th, 2003. Now that was a great day. There was family, there's friends, there's singing, there's dancing, there's a great party. And of course, there is a woman, a beautiful woman, in a white dress. Would anyone like to see a photo from that day? Woo! Haven't changed a bit, have we? Well, my love, you haven't. I've still been working on the beard a little bit. Haven't got too much further, just sort of expanded it out a little bit more. But that was so young. I know, like now, hey. Like now, yeah. Thank you, yeah. One of the things that can happen with a young couple, and I'm sure that we were the same, is leading up to a wedding day, the hundreds of details that go into the planning of the day, the specialness of the day, can sometimes take that focus, can't it? You know, it becomes all about the wedding day. And the thing is, of course, that yes, that day is precious and special and fantastic, but it is just the start of a new chapter, right? Of course, it wasn't freeze frame, unfortunately. You know, we haven't just remained like that. That was a little over 21 years ago. We've had a few additions to the photo. In fact, this is a photo that we took just more recently with the famous Owakuni carrot in the background. There's been a few additions along the way. There's been some journey that has taken place. Of course, the day on January the 12th, 2003 was good, but it just starts the process, starts the next chapter. Last weekend, we celebrated Easter. And Easter, in the same sort of way, is a great thing to celebrate, an important thing to celebrate, the death, the resurrection of Jesus. But if we're not careful, we can get kind of enamored and just sort of caught in the moment of celebrating Easter and forget that just like with a wedding, Easter signifies this incredible start, this incredible next chapter for each and every one of us, for the world. And so what I want to talk about this morning is beyond the resurrection. And somewhat of a bit of a sequel or a chapter two, if you like, to what Matt talked about last Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, because I see and what I've kind of been just stirred about as I've been thinking about today, because there is this life that we are invited into as a result of the resurrection. And it's important for each and every one of us that we don't miss it, that we don't just stop at a wonderful celebration of what Easter Sunday is and forget what he invites us to step into. And of course, there are lots of different ways that we could sort of slice and dice and go here. But what I would like to do is just to focus in on three in particular encounters that John's gospel tells us. John's, you know, story of Jesus' life. Each of the gospels, in their own way, they give focus to the time after Jesus rose again, that resurrection sort of phase that we read within the gospels, those books of the Bible that tell the life of Jesus. But John, he gives us some pretty special insight into what we may be invited into as he tells the story one after the other in a particular chapter of John. Does that sound like something that'd be worthwhile to sort of dive into? Beyond the resurrection. Okay, so if you've got your Bibles, I'd love you to turn into John 20. Right towards the end of John, if you've got you on your phones and so forth. I'd love you to turn in there. Sometimes what's helpful when we read Scripture is to read ourselves into Scripture. So it might be to sort of imagine that we are there in the scene, or maybe even as one of the characters that are in the story themselves. And so as we go through these different one after the other encounters that these people have with the risen Lord, I'd love to encourage you to do that. To try and put yourselves in the shoes of them as they encountered Jesus for themselves. And my hope, my expectation, my thought, my wonderings is that as we look at each of these three different stories, that there may well be a specific invitation for you. There may be someone or the story that you particularly sort of are caught by, and there may well be an invitation within it that God is encouraging you to step into when it comes to interacting, encountering the resurrected Christ. John 20, give me a yep if you got it. Mary Magdalene. We're going to start with her encounter. In John 20, Mary has just gone down early on the Sunday morning to find that the stone that is covering up the tomb has been rolled away. She runs back to the disciples, tells them what's happened. They all come. And they find that the tomb is empty, of course. And then we read that the disciples, they just sort of drift off and they head back home. But Mary stays behind. And Mary is absolutely distraught. You may well be able to relate to Mary. If you have ever lost someone precious to you, especially if it's been sudden or unexpected, or maybe you've even seen someone who has lost someone precious to them, the grief that comes is not clean, controlled, nice. The grief that comes is raw and uncontrolled. Mary, she's distraught. She's confused. She doesn't understand what's going on. Heartbroken. I'm going to pick it up in verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They've taken my Lord away," she said, and "I don't know where they have put him." At this stage, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" The same question that the angels have just asked her. "Who is it you are looking for?" That first sort of question from Jesus and the same one that the angels asked, it sounds a little bit like a gentle rebuke, doesn't it? You know, it's like, Why are you crying? You know, you don't need to be. But then that second question that Jesus asks, who is it you are looking for? You know, it's kinder, it expands. In fact, Don Carson, who's a fantastic New Testament scholar, says this becomes an invitation to reflect on the kind of Messiah she was expecting, and thus to widen out her horizons and to recognize that grand as her devotion to him was, her estimate of him was still far too small. Who is it that you are looking for? What are you expecting? That's a great question for us, isn't it? Great questions for us to reflect on and to think about, you know, who is it that we are expecting to encounter when we hear of Jesus or encounter Jesus for ourselves? What is it that we are expecting from him? Those expectations can set in motion all sorts of things for us, can't they? Who is it that you are looking for? But for Mary, she's not in the mood for some deep contemplative sort of thought, is she? You know, she's distraught, she's distressed. It says, thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll get him." Which is kind of fair enough, you know. She's like, is this some sort of cruel joke, you know, that you're playing on me? But then, of course, those of us who know the story, there is this realization, this beautiful monumental shift that begins to happen in Mary's heart. In verse 16, Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary. She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. You know, I reckon that this has got to be one of my favorite moments in Scripture. It's this favorite sort of just encounters that people have with Jesus. The amount that is communicated in simply Jesus saying, "Mary." There is this rush of realization. Everything that he's done, everything that he's said about who he is, every way in which she had connected with his journey, the pain that she had felt at his apparent defeat on the cross, the grief that was pouring out of her in that moment, suddenly had its answer in the saying of her name. Mary is known. She's known. The power of being known by God. And I love that this encounter reinforces that we are known by God. Our deepest longings, our deepest desires, our hopes and dreams, our heartaches, our griefs, our disappointments. Known. And I wonder if that might be part of the invitation for some today. To be known. Jesus, he then sort of builds on what's just happened, and it's subtle, but as soon as you see it, you see this monumental shift. In verse 17, Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending, here it is, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. N.T. Wright, Tom Wright, talking about these verses, says, up to this point, Jesus has spoken about God as the Father, or the Father who sent me, or my Father. He has called his followers disciples, servants, and friends. Now all that has changed. Feel the force of verse 17. Go and say to my brothers, I'm going up to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. The disciples are welcomed into a new world, a world where they can know God the same way Jesus knew God, where they can be intimate children with their Father. Isn't that a profound thought? That we are known by God and that we can know God. Beyond the resurrection, Mary's encounter tells us that we are known by God intimately, personally, deeply. Because of the resurrection, Mary is known. And like I say, I know that, you know, people in our midst, you're going through stuff. Hard stuff, deep stuff. And sometimes, just simply to be known in those seasons is actually enough. It's precious and important, significant. There is no one here or watching with us online who is going through something that Jesus is not able to identify with, to walk with you in. You're known. It just kind of feels like, yeah, we should breathe that in, shouldn't we? You know, before we sort of rush on. No one. The next encounter goes one after the other in John 20. The next encounter is with the disciples. Verse 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Heck yes! If Jesus standing in the room has somehow magically sort of appeared, yes, we would need some peace. Thank you very much. Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. This is one of those places where the sort of the mystery of God, you know, just is kind of front and center to us, isn't it? You know, that where on the one hand, you have the physical presence of Jesus, you know, the understandable, here's Jesus in the flesh standing here before me right now. But then on the other hand, he's just walked through a wall. He was dead just not that long ago. And he's got piercings in his hands and feet and in his side. When Jesus walked the earth, he taught us about the kingdom of God. He taught us to and prayed prayers like, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." This is one of those moments where heaven and earth collide together beyond the resurrection. Heaven and earth coming together. It's like heaven is really not that far away, not some distant, faraway place. On earth as it is in heaven. This mystery of God that's front and center in an encounter like this. they have this absolute moment of joy, just realizing, you know, the risen Lord standing beside them. And in verse 21, again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." This is John's version of the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew's Gospel at the end, Matthew 28. You know, this Great Commission to go, to be sent, to go and tell the world the good news about the gospel. In verse 22, "And with that he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" And there's a great reality of the resurrected Jesus, isn't it? You know, that we can be recipients of the Holy Spirit. We can have the Holy Spirit breathe on us. And it echoes back to right back at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, where God breathed life into Adam. It also echoes, we read a story in Ezekiel about this valley of dry bones where they have life breathed back into them. And here we are beyond the resurrection with this opportunity to have life breathed back into each and every one of us. He breathed on them and sent them out. And in fact, this opportunity of receiving the Holy Spirit, in the church calendar there is a thing called Pentecost Sunday. And it's coming up in a little while's time. And it's a great day of celebrating this gift of the Holy Spirit to us. And as a church, we're actually going to do a whole bunch of things, different opportunities, prayer opportunities and so forth, leading up to that day as a way of us being able to step into what Acts 2 talks about, where the disciples receive the Holy Spirit in a really significant, special, and important way. And very much it's tapping into our theme of the year, up. Prayer and go, gathering, sending, you know, being inviters of people into the good things of God. Up and go. Yeah, anyway. The disciples were filled and sent. Filled and sent. Sent to carry the good news of the gospel. I wonder if for some in the room, that is your invitation today, to be sent. To be filled and sent. Sent to your friends, to your family, to your neighbors, to those that you know and those that you don't know. To the poor and lowly, to the influential, to go and bring the good news of Jesus resurrected into their worlds. To bring the good news to creation itself. That our lives would actually be part of helping things to be better than how we encountered them to start with. Filled and sent. Maybe you have that stirring in your heart to do that, to go. And you want that fresh infilling so that you may go in the power of God. Filled and sent. Does that sound good? Good to do? As we look beyond the resurrection, is there an invitation for you to be filled and sent? So there's Mary, there's the disciples, and finally, well, for today anyway, because there's lots of other stories of encountering the risen Lord, but there's Jesus' encounter with Thomas. Following on in John 20 with Thomas. We've got to love Thomas, eh? You know, like kind of said some of those things that we might be thinking but might be a little bit afraid to say. You know? And it gives us the example that, like, having doubts in our faith, having doubts in something about Jesus, it doesn't discount us from a life of faith. That's all right. Verse 24, "Now Thomas, who was also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came." I don't know what he was doing, where he was. Thomas, he missed this moment. "So the other disciples told him, 'We have seen the Lord.' But he said to them, 'Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe.'" He's like, "I hear what you're saying, guys. You know, I hear you, but unless I see for myself and he can convince me that he really is Jesus, I'm just not buying it." I'm just not buying it. Verse 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Jesus knew exactly what he needed, what was going to help the penny to drop. And Thomas is clearly floored by it, right? Verse 28, Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And apparently, this is pretty cool. So in John's gospel, this is the first time, remember this is right towards the end of John's gospel, this is the first time that anyone looks directly at Jesus and addresses him as God. You know, they may talk about him, but no one has actually eyeballed him and said, "My Lord and my God." And again, it sort of echoes back or circles back to where John starts. There's these beautiful first verses in John's gospel in John 1. So in verse 1 of John 1, for example, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And here's Thomas's full realization. You are that Word. You are God. Thomas believed. Believed. For some of us, that may well be the invitation for you to simply step into a place of believing. I may not be able to work it all out in my head, but I believe. Believe. Verse 29, then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me and you have believed, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Of course, that's where we come into it, right? And then some scholars actually tell us that John's gospel, his original version, sort of finishes at the end of chapter 20, because those last couple of verses, which we're about to read, sort of they read like a conclusion to what John's been saying. It says this in verse 30: "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book." This next verse is just beautiful, isn't it? "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Life in his name. Again, echoing back to where he started from, John 1, 4, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind, that by believing you may have life in his name." An invitation for each and every one of us to believe not just that Jesus did some cool stuff while he was here on earth, although he did, but to believe that he was and is the Son of God, the Messiah, the Lord of life, and that by stepping into that belief, we may also step into what it means to truly live with purpose and hope and healing and wholeness. Beyond the resurrection, there is this invitation to believe. This is good stuff, isn't it? You know? Like it says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, and the new is here." And look, I'm going to be the first to admit to you that my life does not always look like new, right? You know, there are tough days. There are days where the reality of that doesn't feel like reality in my life. However, each and every day, each and every one of us are given these opportunities, these invitations to encounter the resurrected Jesus because of being beyond the resurrection, like Mary, to be known intimately, personally, deeply, like the disciples, to be filled and sent, to realize that there is a world around us in desperate need of hearing the good news of Jesus, and like Thomas, who believed, to step into a life of faith in Christ. Here's the bottom line, and look, if you forget anything else from what I've just been prattling on about for the last little while, that's absolutely fine. Some people ask me, and I struggle to remember what I talked about, you know, a little while ago, let alone anyone else. But here's the bottom line that I would love you to remember about these encounters that people have with Jesus. And that is simply, beyond the resurrection is an invitation to life. If we want to truly live, there is an invitation to that. No matter what it looks like on the outside, an invitation to life. Lord, we want to walk in that with you. We don't want to just sort of tick the boxes, do mundane life, and that be it. Yes, life has mundane to it, but you invite us to live. And I just as you've got your heads bowed, or just in that place of reflection for yourself, I just wanted to create some space this morning, because I'm really aware that, you know, those invitations that we have are an ongoing reality and choice for us to say yes to, right? And like we've been talking about all this morning, this invitation to encounter the Holy Spirit, to encounter God, even as Jake was, you know, helping to lead us into worship, and the team was singing. And I just think that there may be some very real invitations for individuals here where you're like, yes, I sense that invitation. I want to say yes to that invitation. Or maybe you've come here today with a very real need of the resurrected Christ to come and to step into your reality in some way. We're here to see God move in people's lives. We're not just here to play church. We want to see God show up, don't we? So maybe in a moment like this, you as an individual haven't responded for months or years. Maybe I'm not one of those people who like goes up the front and gets prayed for and stuff. Why not? Who said? So I just want to create some space for people to get prayed for come and to, and by physically responding, you're really just acknowledging something that you sense God doing in your life. Yeah, the invitation of the Holy Spirit in your world. There's nothing magic about the carpet up the front, but there is something in our personal response. So in a moment, we're just going to stand to our feet. And if there is that particular invitation, maybe to be known today, maybe to be filled with boldness and sent, maybe to believe, then we'd love to stand with you and pray for you and just help you to encounter God. So would you stand to your feet with me, please? And would you just begin to move out of your seats? Just if you want prayer, if you want to respond to one of those invitations, then just come on out the front. We're family here. We want to see God move and encounter. I'm going to ask some people to come and help us pray, obviously. So just begin to move. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Lord, we say yes to you. Yes to your invitation. As scary as it may seem at times, or as bold as we feel like we're needing to be, Lord God, as vulnerable as it feels, we want to say yes to you, Lord. Last week, Matt gave us this opportunity to step into a life of faith, and it was wonderful to see people respond. And maybe you were here last week, like, I was almost ready to do that. I want to do that. That whole belief, peace. Maybe that's you today, just to step forward and say, I want to believe.
Yeah, I just got a word in the worship. There's many people that are overwhelmed this season, and it's like you've been saying, if just one more thing happens, and then that thing happens, and you're just like, if just one more thing. And I can feel it in my gut, that feeling of overwhelmness. And I just want to encourage you, we are here to pray for that. God said that to me because he wants to come into that place, into that place of just overwhelmed with everything that's going on. So please come if that's you as well.
Maybe just open that up, just if there are any particular words that people were sensing for us as a congregation, just quickly, just in that moment.
Yeah, just following that word, my prayer time this morning, I saw a whole lot of crocodiles and alligators just going for it. And then when we were worship, I saw the same thing, very much in line with this word, that there's people here that got smiles on their face, but there's crocodiles, there's things at their feet, basically, having a go. And I get the word, Luke 17:21, where it says, the kingdom of God is within you. Because I then saw people standing, turning around at the crocodiles and commanding. Hmm. And the Lord reminds us we have a power and authority, yeah, with that kingdom within us. And I just feel like this morning he's saying, stand in him, believe in him, as we heard, and command. And those things will go away, because there is this snapping going on for a lot of people.
Awesome. Thank you. Cool. Well, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the life that you invite us into and the authority in which we can stand and walk in. You're good, Lord. You're good. In Jesus' name.
Thanks so much for joining us for today's message. We hope and pray that it's been most helpful. If you are keen to find out a little bit more about us as a church whānau, or you'd like to touch base, then you can go to coast.org.nz, and there you'll find information about our in-person services, online services, various resources and activities. Enjoy the day and be blessed.